Okay. Hello, everyone. Hi. It's wonderful to be with you. So if you're visiting tonight, my name is Taryn, as Menno has said, and it's wonderful to be with you. So Chuck and I felt that we wanted to bring four words to you over this conference that have shaped our church's life. So I started with the word come. Then this afternoon, Chuck spoke on stay. And tonight, I want to speak about the more. More. Speak about the more that is always there. The more that is always waiting. The more that isn't pliable or predictable. The more that cannot be contained. The more that is beyond what we see or what we feel or what our circumstances tell us. I want to speak about the immeasurably more of our God. I want to speak about the more that He can do. The immeasurably more God. The God that is able to do more than we can ask or we can imagine. And so tonight, that's what we're going to do. We are going to look at the immeasurably more of His Spirit. And if you've got a Bible with you, we're in Ephesians tonight, Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 14. Before we do that, I'm going to pray for us. Lord, we love what Your Spirit is doing here. And we just ask, Father, that You would come even closer and You would draw even deeper into us tonight, Lord. Would You speak to us through Your word? Would You have Your way in us tonight, we pray. Amen. Okay. I don't have my glasses, so let's see how this goes. Okay, so for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen, amen indeed. So, a few years ago now, it was a few days before Christmas, and the TV broke, which is not really great, because if you're anything like me, then, you know, you've got all your Christmas movies lined up, everything you want to watch over Christmas, and me and the kids were all getting excited about what we're going to watch, and the TV broke. So Chuck had bought a sound bar. How many people like kind of techno geeks and like to buy things like that? Yes, there's a few in the room. Well, anyway, he bought a soundbar. And in order to fit the soundbar, he had to take the TV off the wall. So the TV was working perfectly fine. He took the TV off the wall to fit the soundbar. And then when he went to put the TV back on the wall, lo and behold, it did not work. And he spent hours trying to get this TV to work. And the thing you need to know about Chuck is he does not like to give up on anything. And I just said to him, after hours and hours of him trying to get this TV to work, darling, we're just going to have to buy another TV. Because I want to watch my Christmas movies. And I've got a whole plan of what we're going to do over Christmas. And he very reluctantly agreed. However, the other thing you need to know about Chuck is he loves to research the life out of anything. And so he took another at least day to research the best TV for the price. And I was like, I just want a TV. So eventually this TV came and all was well, but he couldn't bear to get rid of the TV that was working, that broke. So what he did was he got an old duvet and he wrapped it up in the duvet and he put it in the loft. And so there we were over Christmas having a lovely time. And then one evening I caught Chuck Googling. And he was Googling about this old TV that was in the loft. And then all of a sudden, he jumps up and he goes, oh, I know what the problem is. And I was thinking, I too know what the problem is. And there he goes, he's running up the stairs, he's pulling down the loft ladder, he's in the loft, he's dragging out this TV, he brings it down into the living room, he plugs it in, and lo and behold, the TV is working. Now, I said to him, what on earth did you Google? And it turns out that there's actually a particular way that you're supposed to turn a TV off. Now, for me, I would say it's the most logical way that you would turn a TV off, which is you have a remote control, don't you? And you press the button, the off button on the remote control. Then you go to the power socket and you pull out the power cord. Not Chuck. In his haste to get the soundbar in, the TV was on and he just went straight to the power cord and yanked it out from the power. And apparently, if you do that, the TV appears like it isn't working for a very long time. However, if you leave it for a little while and you plug it back in, that TV is working perfectly again. Now, for many of us, there will be moments or days or weeks or months or even years where we might feel a little bit like that TV, where we feel like we have been hiding up in the loft, forgotten about, where we've wrapped up those parts in us that have stopped working and we've hidden them away. Maybe we're carrying around a sense of hopelessness. Or maybe it's a weight of disappointment that is crushing us. Maybe it's guilt or trauma or shame that is causing us to feel like we are broken. Like there are tender parts in us that we want to wrap up and hide away. I love what it says in verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. You see, the promise of the Lord, the more of the Holy Spirit that is offered to us is strengthening power. He's saying to us, well, you can stay up there in the loft if you want, but I'm calling you out. I'm calling you down. I want to plug you back in with my strengthening power. I want to see life come flooding back into all those places that feel tender and vulnerable and maybe even broken or even dead right now. I love the bit in Genesis 1, verse 2, where it says, now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, for me, this is not only a wonderful picture of the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's also a beautiful image of inner healing, where the Holy Spirit, he hovers and broods over us. And he comes and he turns our nothingness, our darkness, our shame, our pain, and he brings about light. That's what he does. So that means that whatever is causing us to feel like we've stopped working, whatever is causing us to want to hide and protect the most vulnerable parts within us, the Holy Spirit can bring healing to those parts. Because there is so much more of the Spirit. There is so much more that He wants to pour out over our wounded and broken areas that are in our lives. We don't and we shouldn't settle for living in the loft, even though sometimes it might feel much easier to do so. A few years ago now, we were on holiday in Inverness, and there's a big, like, outdoor, amazing, how would you describe it, Chuck? Like, adventure park, that's the one. And in the middle of the adventure park, there's like a great big tower that you have to climb up with like a helmet and a harness and whatever. And then for fun, you jump off it. I mean, yeah, I don't get it, but people, that's what they want to do. So our kids were quite little at the time. And one of our children in particular kept just looking, because wherever you went in the park, you could just see this really high tower. And I was like, well, you know, do you want to have a go? Do you fancy going on it? And they were like, no, no. And to be honest with you, Chuck and I were really happy about that because we're both petrified of heights, but we didn't obviously want to put that onto our child. So we were like, okay, fine. Anyway, towards the end of the day, I got this little tug on my sleeve and it's like, Mum, I do want to give it a go. So inside I was like, oh no. But I was like, okay, brilliant. So we got in the queue. And they got suited and booted and they had like everything strapped on and a helmet. And as we were watching people, I watched one teenager get halfway up, couldn't bear it, and then came back down again. One other person got to the top and they give you, because it's pretty high up, they give you like a minute or 2 minutes grace to see if you're going to do it or not. And then if you don't, then they have to come and rescue you. And this person had to be rescued. And then it was my child's turn. And I was like, oh no, please don't let them have to be rescued. So there they go, climbing, 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 all the way to the top. And then they get to the top and there's a lip. There's an maybe like it's a meter or 2 meters that they have to walk before they jump. But I could see that my child was absolutely petrified. I could even see from the ground that their knees were knocking and their teeth were chattering. They were absolutely petrified. And we're there shouting, you can do it, come on. And everyone's looking up and everyone's encouraging our child. And as the seconds ticked on, I was thinking, oh, he's not going to move. There's just no way they're going to be able to move. And then just at the very last minute, I watched as my child grabbed hold of their trouser leg and with their hand, they forced their leg to move until they got to the very edge, and then they jumped. They did it, and they were so delighted, and they were so pleased, and everyone was cheering, and it was like a really big high five moment. But for some of us here, that's exactly how we feel about handing over to Jesus the stuff that we've kept hidden. The pain, the broken parts, maybe even the stuff that feels almost like there are dead parts within us that just will never work again. And we don't want to go there. We never even want to look at it again because it's too much. You see, it isn't an easy thing to come down out of the loft, to come out of hiding. We may need to physically move our legs with our hands, like my dear child, as we ask Jesus to come into those tender, vulnerable places, to come and pour in His life-giving power. We don't need to be reluctant or scared or worried about asking him to come. He's a gentle God, and he's waiting for that moment when we say, come, Holy Spirit, come into the whole of me. Come into those parts that I've hidden away. Come and bring your healing. Come and bring your power. Come and strengthen me. Come and pour your perfect power into every weak and vulnerable part of my life. Fill me. Come and uphold me. Come and bring freedom to me. A dear friend of mine, she started to self-harm when she was 15. And she self-harmed because she was terribly bullied at school and she didn't know how else to deal with the pain. So she cut herself. And she really grappled with this for many years until she was at university, where she made some wonderful friends. And she realized suddenly what friendship, Christian, godly friendship, really was. She got married. And every time that her and her husband would have an argument or kind of fall out a little bit, that desire to hurt herself would rear its ugly head. And every time she would press through and she would never hurt herself, but the desire was there. And then one day she felt the Holy Spirit highlighting a part of her that was almost like it was dead. And she didn't know what it was, so she came and she asked for some prayer ministry. And as we started praying for her, she suddenly got this pain underneath her ribs. And so she invited the Holy Spirit into that pain. And she started to weep. And then she started to cry. And then she started to properly sob and scream out the pain that she had buried for many, many years. You see, when we bury things that are painful to us, we think, well, I've buried that. I never want to deal with it again. I never need to see it again. But when we bury those things, we bury them alive. And so it churns around in us. And so she started to allow that pain to come out as the Holy Spirit just gently ministered to her. And after a while, she felt that Jesus was saying to her, I want to help you in your struggle with self-harm. And Jesus, it was only then did she realize that the whole time she was receiving ministry, she had her hands clenched like this, like his fists. And that's exactly what she would do every time she was trying to push through not hurting herself. And she felt Jesus say, just relax your arms. And as she relaxed her arms, Jesus came and he stood in front of her. And he took hold of her arms with all the scars that had taken so much pain. And with his hands, he just started to gently touch her forearm, she said. And she said it was the most beautiful, incredible experience she'd ever had. The sensation of peace was unreal, she said. And then after a while, Jesus took hold of both her hands and he put them in his. And he said to her, I've got you. You're never going to need to worry about this again. And she knew in that moment that the Lord had healed her of a struggle with self-harm that had gone on for over a decade. Friends, there is always, always more. There is always more of the Holy Spirit's strengthening power that is available to us. Not only that, but verse 18 tells us that we may have power. So not only are we strengthened with power, but also, we may have power. You see, we can have the Spirit's power. We are able to be people who carry the power of the Holy Spirit. So There's a theme coming tonight. We were on holiday in France. Guess where we were? In a caravan.
Yes!
Another static caravan we were. And it was lunchtime. We'd just come back from getting a food shop. We were all hangry. Is that a word over here? Does everyone know what hangry means? Oh, great. Good. So we're all hangry. So we're just like, okay, let's just get the food out as quickly as possible. Now, there was no cold drinks. It was boiling hot. We'd just been shopping. And Chuck took a bottle of Diet Coke. And he wanted to get it as chilled as quickly as possible. So what he thought was a good idea was he was going to put it in the freezer, which he did. There was two issues with that. Chuck forgot that he put it in the freezer. Secondly, he never told me he put it in the freezer. Fast forward to about 3 a.m. We are woken to the most enormous explosion you could. I mean, honestly, we were like, what on earth is that? We both shot bolt upright in bed. Chuck's like trying to get out of the door, and he opens up the bedroom door and he sees utter carnage on display. There is frozen Coke all on the ceiling, running all down the walls, plastic shards everywhere. And then as he turns, he sees the great big fridge freezer door wide open and a lovely Diet Coke-shaped hole in one of the freezer drawers. Where, like a rocket, this Diet Coke had propelled itself with such force that the freezer door swung wide open and then it exploded like a firework all over the lounge and the kitchen. The point is... The point is, we completely underestimated the power that Coke bottle contained. And the incredible, jaw-dropping thing about the power of the Holy Spirit is that he takes ordinary, everyday, normal people, just like you, just like me, and he pours in his power. That's what he does. He pours in his power so that we can become people of power. We get to operate with the power of the Holy Spirit. We may look ordinary, but we have the power of the Spirit of God living in us. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is alive and living in you and living in me. Friends, let's not forget that. Never underestimate the power that is at work in us through the Holy Spirit. I had a call from one of my friends who went to see a medium, and they were told by this medium that they should leave their husband because he was having an affair. And she came home, and then after a few days, during that time, things started going wrong in the house. They bought a brand new TV and it stopped working. Well, it started turning itself on and off random times of the night. And then when they wanted it to work, it wouldn't. The heating had stopped working. They could hear noises when when she was the only one in the house, she could hear people walking around upstairs. And then she felt something brush past her and like this weird kind of like wind coming into the kitchen. And she was pretty freaked out. And she said, it's like there's a hardness that has come over me towards my family. She wasn't a Christian. And she said, could I come over? And I said, yes. And I said, do you want me to pray? And she said, yes. So I started going around the house and praying over the heating and the walls of the house. And then I said to her, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. And as I started praying, she was just ever so pale. And she said, I can see a noose and I can feel it tightening around my throat. And I said to her, I think you need to renounce what has been spoken over you and what you have done. And I think you need to ask Jesus into that. And you need to say sorry to Jesus. Can you do that? And she said, yes, I want to do that. And she went from looking so cold and so scared to suddenly she went, oh, I can breathe again. And I said, what's happened? And she said, I just saw these amazing, massive scissors come and just snip the rope and it just broke. And then I just saw her face as it was just this beautiful purple, pinky colour, just all warm and cozy over her face. And I just prayed for more of Jesus to come and fill her. And she sat there for ages just going, this is wonderful. He's wonderful. And I was like, he is wonderful. And then all of a sudden she gets up and she runs over to the radiator and she goes, oh, the radiator was working, isn't it? And I was like, is it? Oh, quick. And there, sure enough, there's the radiator boiling hot, working again. So then she goes over to the TV and she's trying to get the TV to work. So no, the TV's not working. So I lay hands on, yeah, we don't get Chuck near it. I lay hands on the TV, command the TV to work in the name of Jesus. TV starts to work. That day in my friend's living room, she experienced the incredible power of the Holy Spirit, not only in her home, but in her life as well. She had absolutely no doubt of the huge power that God has. She told some friends about it. And a few days after that, she made a decision to follow Jesus. Friends, let's not underestimate the work that God has for us. You see, he's enabled us to be people who carry his presence and his power, not because of who we are, not because of what we've done or not done, but because of who Jesus is. And because he died on a cross for us, he took on our sin and shame and he rose 3 days later. Because of Jesus, we have this incredible, huge, mighty, gigantic power that causes demons to flee, healing to invade, peace to fall, hope to spring up, and the impossible to be made possible. Let's never forget what we have and what we carry. Because you know what? It's not only for in here, for the church, but it's for out there. It's for a dying and broken world that is on its knees and is looking for some kind of spiritual power anywhere and everywhere, but to the living God. And the people who carry it, it's us. Ordinary, everyday old us. So we're strengthened with power. We have power. And lastly, we will see immeasurably more than we can imagine. Verse 20 says, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. I just love this word, immeasurably. I just think it's such a great word. So in his letter, Paul is reminding the Ephesian church, remember, people exactly like you and I, about the more of the Spirit. He's saying now to him who's able to do infinitely more, vastly more, immensely more, massively more, greatly more, colossally more, hugely more, enormously more, much, 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 much more than all we can ask or imagine. Yet I wonder if for some of us we've settled for something we should never have settled for. Maybe we've been too quick to accept or adjust our lives around a horrendous situation or really painful circumstances. Maybe we've resolved ourselves to the fact that those hopes and dreams that we carry, they're never going to come to pass. Maybe we've accepted a medical diagnosis that, well, that's how things are always going to be. Maybe we're living in the midst of a broken relationship, or infertility, or in the pit of depression. Maybe the hidden, the deep hidden stuff of our sinful selves, the habitual sinful stuff that we do that we're so ashamed of, that we've never told anyone and we think, well, this is me, I'm bound to this for the rest of my life. That's it. That's what I need to put up with. But what if there is more? Not only more, but immeasurably more for you and for me. What if there is immeasurably more than we can see right now? What if there is immeasurably more than our situation dictates? What if there is immeasurably more than the place that we've settled in right now? What if the more that the Spirit has in mind is immeasurably more for us? I'm going to ask Ali and Lorna to come up and just to share two very quick stories about the more of the Spirit. So Ali and Lorna, let's give them a big cheer.
I'll speak really, really slow for those who have not heard me speak yet. Before we went to Peterhead, we were part of a site in Ellen, and part of my role there was accountability for other guys. And there was a guy that stayed or lived over the back of my house, and I used to go and see him quite regularly. And it was apparent very quickly that his heart was for his wife. Everybody go, "Aww." Yeah. So his heart was for his wife because his wife struggled with Parkinson's, so she tremored, and she had really sore feet from polio that she had when she was younger. Anyway, he says, "I'd love you to come pray with my wife." I says, "Well, I need to bring my wife to pray with your wife." So we arranged a time in the future to come and do that. So anyway, it just so happened the night had arrived. The night had arrived where we were away to pray for this couple. I didn't have a really good day at work. I was a bit fed up. I was a bit, ugh. My kids were pushing the boundaries a wee bit of what was acceptable in our house. And Lorna had a bit of a tough day at work as well. So the last thing we really could was try and muster up some energy to go and pray for this couple. Sounds really bad, doesn't it? But it's true. We were really, really struggling. Should we phone up? Should we cancel it? Should we try and put it off a bit? Maybe they'll phone us and say they can't make it. God didn't answer any of their prayers. So we got to the house and we sat in the car at our lowest point. Says, "Lorna, what are we going to do?" And we says, "Father God, we don't have it in us tonight. We really don't have it in us. But we invite you into this car and come out of this car with us into this house. And we're just going to give you tonight. You take control and we'll just do whatever you tell us to do." Sounds, that was it. Nothing fancy. That was it. We went into this house, had a beautiful conversation with the husband, a beautiful conversation with his wife, who was a Christian, a backslidden Christian from many years ago, had a beautiful conversation with Lorna. And all of a sudden, this woman is giving her life, rededicating her life back to Jesus. Now, that's good enough. I thought, I'll take that. That's one in the book. Tick. That's good. But as Lorna was praying for this woman, God clearly said to me, "I'm going to heal her feet tonight." I thought, "You are joking. What am I going to do with that? Like, you've said that, now I have to do something with that." And when you get things like that, you play it over in your head, go, "What would that look like? Did I hear that? Did I really hear that? No. And a sort of this internal battle goes on inside, knowing, though, I had to do something with it. So as Lorna is praying for the woman, and this woman's sitting down because she can't stand up because of the sore feet. She can't, She can't stand up unaided, and she tremors, so obviously holding a stick's hard for her. And she stands on the balls of her feet, because to lay her feet flat is really, really sore. So she just couldn't do it, so she has to walk on the balls of her feet. And God says, I just want you to get on your knees, Alistair, and put your hands around the back of her heels. That's all I need you to do. There was no fancy words involved. There was no reciting psalms or anything like that. It was on my knees, I says, in the name of Jesus, I command these heels to work as God has designed them to work. She stood bolt upright. There's something happening in my legs. Whoa, there's something happening in my legs. Now, she's standing at this point upright, not shaking, unaided. And I'm like, so I'm looking at Lorna. Lorna's looking at me. Lorna's like, what have you done? I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, there's something in my legs. Now, we always say, let's test it. Because standing up's great, but let's see you walk. Yeah? So she started to walk. And us, the ever-believing Christians, chasing after her to make sure she doesn't fall up the hall. But she was running up and down the hall. And we came out of that. It was a beautiful moment. Not only she had rededicated her life to Christ, she received healing all within about 20 minutes. And we sat in that car and were like, what just happened? Like, we can't believe something's just like us. Like, yeah, she put her feet, everything straightened out, feet on the floor, no walking unaided, running. And we went back into this car, and the power was indescribable, wasn't it? It was like, it was really hard for us to process, because we weren't in that special place. We're having a bit of a bad day, and God says, that's exactly where I need you to be, because it's not about you at that point. It's all on me. It's all on God at that point. It's really, really good.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that, and I think just in these wee things that God's been teaching us, sorry, Taryn, quickly saying, is that it's about obedience, no matter how you're feeling. And actually in that moment, for me, I was the most broken I'd ever been and so far from God and didn't feel like I could hear him, but I knew that this is what we're to do as Christians. And obedience is not a thought or a feeling, it's an action. And when your obedience aligns with his spirit, that is what he does. Yeah. And so we have another quick story, I'll say it quickly. We were here about 2 years ago in the Netherlands on a bit of a God curveball, because he likes to throw them out. And we came to meet Menno and Marion. And before we had left, we had prayed for our time over here. And we were in a real place of being hungry for the Spirit, really hungry. And we'd prayed, Lord, we don't want to force any conversation or force anything. So if you want us to talk to somebody, you're going to have to bring them to us. Maybe you don't say that to him, but we did. And so we had arrived, we spent a night in Amsterdam, and the next day we were getting a train to meet Menno at his home. And we had a little wait for our train, and it was beautiful weather, so we thought we'd go and sit outside Amsterdam Central train station. And we're sitting on this wall, and we're just people watching, and there was one guy walking back and forward, who looked a bit, what we'd say back home, a bit dodgy, just was up to no good. And we were sitting there, and Ali was like, keep a hold of your suitcase. And so this guy walked back and forward for a while, and then he sat just along the wall from us. And every now and again, I'd sort of just look around, and as I looked, he caught my eye, and he said, do you speak English? I was like, right, hold my suitcase, I'll be back in a second. And so I went and sat with this guy, and I said, you look really troubled. What's wrong? And so he told this story. And as he was telling this story, he had the most yellow jaundice eyes. And he had some drugs in his hand. And as we were speaking, I said to him, do you need your life to change? And he said, yeah, I'm addicted to drugs. My family, I come from Gambia. I was brought up as Muslim. I just have nothing. And I said to him, do you know Jesus? And he said, I know of him. I says, no, I'm asking you, do you know him? He says, no. He says, let me tell you who Jesus is and who he is to me. And so told him about Jesus. And then I said, would you like to ask him into your life? And he said, yeah. And at that point, I also said to him, and those drugs, they're not helping you. And he threw them away, which was amazing. And then I led him in a prayer, and he received Jesus into his heart. And then I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, Holy Spirit, come. I wasn't ready for this next bit. He had a cap on, he took his cap off, and you just seen peace fall on him. Tears started to flow, and then he started to sway in the Spirit. And then we thought, uh-oh, something's about to happen. And he just went out in the Spirit in the middle of Amsterdam Central train station. So we propped him up against the wall, literally grabbed him and just plunked him on the floor. And we were praying for him as he was there, just receiving from the Lord. And people were going past going, is everything okay? It's fine. We're just praying for him. And he just sat there and received. And then we went and got our train. It was incredible.
Thank you, guys. All that is to say that that is the immeasurably more of the Holy Spirit. He is able to do far more than we can ever hope or imagine or ask for. Don't limit him. Don't box him in. Don't try and second guess what he's going to do. And definitely don't settle, because there is so much more that the Spirit wants to do. Why don't we stand? Come, Holy Spirit. We're just going to wait. Just increase what you're doing all across this room, Jesus. More of your Spirit. Would you go deeper now? I think there's a few things the Lord wants to do tonight. Firstly, I think there were some people that just heard Ali and Lorna's stories and thought, I want to see that kind of thing happen. I want to have the boldness to do that. I want to be able to step out and see healings. And particularly in the streets, like I think there's a real thing about evangelists here tonight, or people that, you know, maybe you haven't blown your cover, but you know that God is calling you to speak of him in a much bigger way than you have. And we would love to pray for the immeasurably more of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit to fall upon you. So if that is you, would you just come over to my left, your right, so that we can pray. Why don't you come now? Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wow. Oh, let's just fill the whole bit. Come on, guys. Wow, thank you, Jesus. Let's come and pray. Maybe you've never prayed, or you're reluctant to pray for someone. You carry the immeasurably more of the Spirit. Let's come and pray. Father, we just anoint these people, Lord, that you'd release them even more into their gifts to share Jesus on the streets, in their workplaces. Lord, would you burn in them a desire to see the lost saved? Would you perform signs and wonders, Jesus, as they step out in the miraculous in you, in obedience, Lord, when they feel like it and when they don't? Would you come and would you fill them with your power? Fill them with your power. We say more, more. And would you break their hearts for the things that break yours, Jesus? Would they get a little glimpse of how you see and how your heart breaks for this nation and the nations? And would you send them? Send them. Are we going to need some more people to come and pray? Men and women. It'd be great to get a guy here to come and pray. Come, Lord. Let's release. I just also feel like we should pray for people who are hiding in the loft. And you're a bit scared about coming out. But there is healing for you. And there is a journey of freedom and wholeness for you. And we would love to pray for you. And so if that is you, why don't you come? Just to my right, your left, because we would love to minister to you. And again, can we be family? Ali. That's it. This is vulnerable for some of you. If we could have some more people to come and pray, that would be wonderful. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, would you come into those areas of pain and vulnerability? Would you come and pour your healing out upon your children, your people, Lord? Would you come and set the captives free? Would you come and gently shine your light with your tenderness and your love into those places that maybe have just been kept hidden away. We break the power of the secrecy that maybe the enemy has kept you bound in. We break the power of that now in Jesus' name. And it may be that people have already come forward, but I really sense, I know I touched on it and it wasn't in my notes, but it just came out and it was about something habitual that only you know about, that is hidden in your life and you feel like, well, that's me forever and it is not you forever. And there is not shame or condemnation, but there is freedom in Christ Jesus. And if that is you, just make yourself known somehow and we would love to pray for you. Maybe even just come to the front now. It could be jealousy. It could be bitterness. It could be gossip. It could be any number of things. But if you're in an habitual habit, I feel like there's freedom for you. If the band would like to come, just gently, we're just going to...